Do you want the most stylish MMA apparel without paying ridiculous prices? Check out IntimidationClothing.com for great original styles of t-shirts, hoodies, and more. IntimidationClothing.com features affordable, premium quality products for men and women. Intimidation is one of the fastest growing MMA apparel companies in the world. Log on today at IntimidationClothing.com. Be the intimidator. Intimidation Clothing.
We're not Zuffa zombies. We're Cage Zombies. You're listening to Cage Zombies Radio with Matthew Gaithier and Spencer Kirksey.
What's up? This is Cage Zombies Radio, and we're coming at you faster than Johnny Manziel's coming off of that draft board. So welcome to another Thursday night episode of the greatest radio show in the world. My name is Matthew, and with me is my co-host, Mr. Spencer Kirksey.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Great to be back here. Thursday night talking some MMA. We got some great events coming up this weekend, some great ones to talk about that happened last weekend. One of our guests tonight fought not too long ago, Glory 16, and of course we have Luke on as well, so should be a great show.
Yes, sir. It's always awesome to have Luke on the show, Luke being one of our big-time sponsors, one of our main guys here. We love talking with him. You know, it's funny, I surprised him earlier or yesterday because I told him, I said, what's some key topics? Luke always has key things he wants to talk about, right? So I like to get them ahead of time and kind of know and expect what we're going to hear from Luke and stuff, you know, He mentioned two things. He said, I want to talk about Brian Rogers' fight, tomorrow night at Bellator, and then he wants to talk about Dan Spahn, pretty much just rocking the Ultimate Fighter house right now. And I was like, well, you know what? We actually had Dan on the show last week. He said some good things about Intimidation. We had some good things to say about Intimidation. You should give it a listen. So as far as I know, he went and listened to that and was pleased to hear that we had him on, and that everybody's got good things to say about Intimidation. I love Intimidation. Wear his shirts almost every day, he's been good to me, doing some good stuff for me, and doing a lot of good for MMA throughout Ohio, the Midwest, even infiltrated Florida, kind of taking over the Eastern United States. So we'll be talking with him first, and then later in the night we're going to be talking with Maureen Babyface Reardon, coming off a pro debut victory at Glory 16 out there in Denver, Colorado, and I think we all know Glory 16 is kind of moving themselves into the forefront of worldwide kickboxing. They're one of the best ones out there right now, and they're doing a lot of awesome stuff. And, while she is an MMA fighter, chose to make her pro debut in kickboxing and was successful. Third-round TKO. Guess just went to work on the girl, and the ref stopped the fight, and so we'll be talking with her later on. She's actually doing an interview right before ours, which is pretty cool. You know, she was excited. We talked with her. I spoke with her last week about trying to get her on before her fight, but she said Glory just had them doing so much PR work and press work and just all kinds of stuff that it just wouldn't work out that then. And I said, all right, we'll get you on again. I contacted her the other day, and she said absolutely. So a little bit of a shorter show tonight, but we're going to make sure it's packed with information, packed with good stuff. And, it should be an awesome night. Spent most of the afternoon getting geared up for the NFL draft and kind of watching that. I do want to say I'm just beyond excited that Johnny Manziel is not making a trip down here to Tampa. Hopefully he will be ending up somewhere on the other side of the country. I was really hoping Oakland would take him. I couldn't think of a farther point for him to go from Florida. Obviously he's not going to go to Seattle. Seattle's got probably the hottest QB in the league right now, but I was really hoping he'd go to Oakland, anywhere but Florida. And so far, he's not going anywhere. As far as I know, he's kind of still sitting in his seat. So, that's it. This isn't a football show. I think most people know football is my first love, but there's a time and place, and this is all about MMA tonight, Cage Zombies. Before we get rolling, obviously, our sponsors, BrawlBase.com, Valley Auto Auction, AOLMMA.com, CrossroaderClothing.com, IntimidationClothing.com, Impose Your Will at IntimidationClothing.com, All Out Fight Shop for all of your needs, everything you could think of, All Out Fight Shop located in the beautiful South Florida, right there, I believe, in the Fort Lauderdale area. Next time I'm in Fort Lauderdale, I have every intention of stopping by the shop, checking them out, and getting to know the guys a little bit on a personal level. I always like to do that. So Game Changer Clothing, Persist Headwear, Jack's Media Canada, and, of course, the world-class ProAmBelts.com. Each and every one of our sponsors are pretty pretty cool people, man. I got to say, anybody that comes on board here and sponsors us, I got a big spot for them in my heart. Love them. And I think me and Spencer both, man, we're both hungry for a mouth guard sponsor. We want a mouth guard sponsor, so we've been reaching out and hoping we can get something going on a mouth guard sponsor. So, with that said, I got to say, man, my dude, Mr. Pablo Diablo, just wrapped up school this week. I actually wrapped up last week, and I know he just wrapped up. So how are you feeling right now, Spencer?
Oh, I'm feeling great, and it's always good to kick off summer with good MMA events. And I've been saying it all week, MFC 40, I've been waiting for it for a long time.
Yes, sir.
I know this week is crowded with local MMA and then the big shows with Bellator and the UFC. But if you paid attention to my Twitter yesterday, I went ahead and said that MFC 40 is going to be the best event this weekend. I'm calling it now. It's just a stacked fight card. Marcus Edwards is on there. His MFC debut was crazy. He's a monster. Of course, Sam Alvey, Wes Swofford. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a great great night of fights for MFC, as it pretty much always is. Looking forward to that. We're going to break that down a little bit later in the night. Actually, I'm going to let you break down MFC because that's more of your cake and butter. You're a bigger MFC guy than I do. You have the opportunity to watch more of their events than me, seeing as don't exactly have access to Axis. So
get on it. Get on it.
You know what, man? It's these gosh darn freaking cable providers down here in Florida. We can get, let me start by saying I don't pay for the cable. So I don't argue about what's available on the cable and what's not. So, but I will find a way to see MFC 40. And we had hoped to have the amazing Anthony Burchak on with us. I think last week we were hoping to have him on. And, of course, unfortunately, an injury forced him out of that bout, and we'll be hoping to see him back in the cage very soon. We're both big fans of his, and the dude puts on amazing fights. And sorry to see that go down like that, but we know he'll come back, and you know, he'll continue destroying people as Burchak does best. And but yeah, it's still gonna be a great night of fights for MFC 40. And despite what our friend Jason London thinks, it is not a couple weeks away. It is in fact tomorrow night. So I don't know if you caught that. Did you catch that in I think it was the second Madhouse vlog put out?
No, I didn't see it. I have been watching the MMA Madhouse minutes that we've been posting. If you haven't seen those, check those out. They're great. Carl does a great job with putting them together.
Yeah,
I didn't catch that one. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, I think it's the first or second one, and he says something like, MFC 40 coming up in 2 weeks, and then the next day, I think it was the third. The third day, Carl corrects him and says, "London, what do you think you're talking about, man? MFC 40 is 2 days away," and it was quite amusing. So Jason had a goof at himself there after he was corrected and when he realized his goof up, but no harm, no foul. I think everybody at Madhouse loves MFC. I think I'm having a word blank right now, but On accident, three or four different Madhouse members actually promote MFC 40 in their MMA vlogs. If you haven't seen those, hit up YouTube and check out the MMA Madhouse YouTube page where you can find our daily vlog. We're calling it the Madhouse Minutes, about a 5 to 8 minute video of different Madhouse members promoing some stuff and talking about different stuff in their areas. We also have special guests. We got some people from Bluegrass MMA that joined us yesterday. I actually did my first one today, became the first time I was a part of it. I haven't been able to get into it yet, and today I was able to do so, promote a little bit about what we got down here this weekend. Tomorrow's daily vlog, I'm going to focus on Island Fights 28, which is going to be tomorrow night in Pensacola Beach, Florida. Unfortunately, couldn't make it up there for that one. But, yeah, so check that out on YouTube. It's MMA Madhouse YouTube page, and check out our daily vlogs. And I think right now we're going to go live with the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Luke Jernigan.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great, Luke. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Just watched a little NFL draft here to keep my night going while I get a little bit of work done.
Awesome, man. Right on. What's your thought, real quick, because I know we got a lot to get into. What's your thought so far on how the draft has played out?
It's interesting. I'm a Browns fan growing up in Ohio. So, of course, the Browns trade out of 4 to 9, then from 9 to 8, and then take a cornerback, which was fairly underwhelming from a name value, but I think it's probably a pretty good pick to put him opposite Joe Hayden. So we'll see. We'll see. Outside of that, Manziel's still on the board, so that's going to create drama no matter what. Whoever gets him, I don't know. I don't know what to think of Manziel. So this is going to be it's an interesting draft, and I'm having fun watching it.
Yeah, right on, man. Now let's go full force right into MMA. And let's start with Dan the Dragon Spahn, because we all know he's one of your top guys, one of the best people over at Intimidation, and he's having some big success right now, doing some big things. He came off of one of the most amazing knockouts probably in the history of the Ultimate Fighter to get into the house, and then he comes out last week with what I thought was just a completely dominating fight. Dana White had his things to say about it, I think personally Dana White kind of sounded like an idiot, because I thought that. I thought Spahn went out and said, this is what happened. This is what you see when a fighter knows how to do everything in the cage, and I think that's what Dan showed us. So what have you thought thus far about Dan's performance on The Ultimate Fighter?
Well, I think you nailed it on how he did last week. Now, yeah, of course I'm biased, whatever, that's fine. But Dana has to realize, guys like Dan Spahn has 4 kids, he has a wife, he has been struggling for years just to make it. And his family's putting up with him pursuing his dream, and I give them all the credit in the world. I know his wife. I know Dan. I know, you know, a lot of people close to him. I've been friend/sponsor for them for years. You know, this is his chance. And you've got to go out there and do the right thing to accomplish the goals you want. And if the right thing is listening to 2 legends in BJ Penn and Mark Coleman, to preserve your body so that you can go farther in the tournament and be healthier, duh.
Do it.
I mean,
yeah.
It's pure strategy. And Dana White, at the end of the day, has to respect strategic thinkers, because strategic thinkers like George St. Pierre have carried his company for and Greg Jackson and some of those have carried his company for years and made him millions of dollars. So that having been said, he wants that Forrest Griffin, Stephen Bonner type of fight every time, which is completely impractical. And kind of selfish and whatnot, but hey, you know, it's his company, and he's Mr. Brash, stick his foot in his mouth all the time kind of guy. But he's done such wonderful things for the sport. I don't want to totally knock it.
Yeah.
I just didn't like the way he dogged Dan for a good strategy that was obviously working.
Yeah. Now, to follow up with that, I was what you were saying. I think Dana's by far one of the most important people in the history of the sport and in the progression of the sport. I think that the sport hasn't reached this level without him in it. But with that said, Dana, over time and time again, sticks his foot in his mouth. What I respect about him is that when he says something, he goes with it. I've never really seen him backtrack what he says. He sticks with what he says, whether it's proved right or wrong. He sticks with what he said, and I got to respect that about Dana. I just think that there's times when he seems like one of those guys in a bar who thinks MMA is just going to be knockouts, and that's what Dana wants to see is a knockout. And I think sometimes he kind of overlooks the fact that mixed martial arts is very much every single martial art. It encompasses everything, and that's why we watch it, because you're seeing full force, full contact fighting, and sometimes that turns into a wrestling-based fight, and that's kind of what that fight was with Dan. It was a wrestling-based fight where we saw Dan's versatility in his wrestling, but ultimately I thought that really showed him as a mixed martial artist. His knockout showed him as a knockout that this guy's got power, but I think that this second fight showed him as a true mixed martial artist.
And anyone who's seen Dan fight, and I have multiple times over, knows how well-rounded his game is. He was 5-0. I think he was 6-0 at one point. Yeah, 6-0 after he got the 9-second knockout in Bellator 51 in Canton, Ohio, back in I think it was November 2011. And at that point, got to 6-0. Then he lost three straight. In that string, I mean, most of his fights were stand-up fights. Two battles with John Hawk, and John Hawk, if people don't know, is one of just the toughest son of guns you'll ever meet in your entire life. He could take a punch from anybody. You could throw a cinder block at his head, and he'd just keep coming right at you. He's like a zombie sometimes, and I love John. And John's a guy we worked with, too. But Dan and John fought twice. Dan won two decisions against him because nobody's ever knocking John Hawk out. You know, Dan then, after losing, and then, of course, you got the 9-second knockout over Dane Bombickson at Bellator 51. And then after the three losses, which he was going through a lot of, he was traveling from Columbus to Cincinnati and spending most of his weeks in Cincinnati and, you know, barely making ends meet. You know, every free moment he was working when he wasn't training, which means he wasn't getting to see his kids grow up. Just a really stressful time in life, trying to figure out the right camp, the right pieces. Am I pursuing this dream the right way? Should I be doing this? You know, just struggling with a lot of that. And, you know, the cool part about Dan is then he bounced back, got the fight in front of the hometown crowd in Columbus a couple times, and, you know, he got back-to-back submission wins there. So here he's won stand-up battles. He's won via knockouts in quick fashion. He's won against really, really tough-nosed guys. He threw an elbow to the eye socket of Josh Hendricks, who is a UFC vet in the heavyweight division. They fought at like 210, 215, 220, something like that, in an NFFS event. He threw from his back, he threw an elbow to Hendricks' eye socket, and Hendricks gave up in the fight after he hit him so hard with an elbow from his back. So, I mean, this guy's won every way. He's won via submission. He's won via TKO, knockouts, and decisions, and battles, and wars, and quick fights, and everything. So the versatility of Dan Spahn is something that it's kind of nice to see it on display on The Ultimate Fighter, and I hope, you know, that he continues to show that. And I think the scene with him bringing the mats in and training and doing some of his traditional martial arts, I think, is probably about as representative of Dan as you're ever going to find. And it's just neat to see that personality come out and whatnot. He's one of the I hate ranking athletes in terms of how much I like him and stuff, but he's definitely one of my favorites. He's definitely one of the absolute best individuals I've met in this sport, and that's a lot of people.
Now, Intimidation Clothing has, as you said, you have seen a lot of great fighters come through and sponsored by you. Obviously, Jessica Ai, Brian Rogers, who we're going to get to shortly. But how has it been different seeing Dan go through The Ultimate Fighter as opposed to maybe Stipe or Jessica being signed straight to the UFC? How has that been different?
It's definitely different. Like, we actually got to experience this with Jessamyn Duke here on the last season. And Jessamyn was another one of those athletes who we'd worked with for a good bit before that. We actually worked with her, I think, for about a year and a half before she got signed. And it's kind of one of those situations where I used to think it was better to just get signed to be on the roster. Now, from a popularity standpoint, in a world where we are constantly looking for stars and polarizing individuals, as I'm talking about that, we're watching the draft with Johnny Manziel, talk about a polarizing individual. But in a world where, you know, Twitter and, you know, guys like Nick and Nate Diaz, whether you like them or you don't like them, they're interesting. I almost feel like The Ultimate Fighter gives people an opportunity to look into the lives of these athletes on The Ultimate Fighter or, you know, a similar reality show and get to know them on a little bit more of a, I don't want to say an intimate level, but get to know them and get to know their personality a bit more and at least what their personality is on TV. And so I think that's actually kind of special. Stipe Miocic, or they now are, you know, saying it more along the lines of the way it should be pronounced in Miocic. In Stipe's case, people still don't really know who he is outside of the diehards and Cleveland, Ohio. And I think it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, he never really got that opportunity to be featured. He got featured before the Stefan Struve fight, and then, of course, everyone jumps off the train as soon as you lose a fight, which is one of my absolute biggest pet peeves of the industry as a whole. You know, do they love you when you win, but when as soon as you lose, you know, then everyone jumps off the train until you start winning again. But, you know, Stipe, people really don't know. Jessica, unfortunately, they know her for the wrong reasons right now. I think that over time that will continue to evolve and we'll get to see more of her personality come out through some of the promotionals and whatnot. But for right now, she's still relatively new to the UFC. So, you know, it's kind of cool with Dan, with Jessamine and others, that you get to see their personalities, you get to see them interact with others, you get to kind of root for them over a 12-week period and kind of then become a fan over time.
Yeah, right on, man. Now let's transition to Brian Rogers, man. Brian Rogers fighting tomorrow night, getting back in the cage. You know, he hasn't fought since Bellator 98. And what's your I don't know how to start this. Let's say as a fan, as somebody who's watched him for a long time and become fond of Brian Rogers as a fighter and as a person, what are your feelings about seeing him finally get back in the cage?
Well, I'm going to be – I'm nervous thinking about it, so there you go. there are a select few fighters that I get nervous when they step into the cage, and those are the ones that I know so darn well that – it's no longer me sponsoring an athlete. It's me as a friend watching a friend step into the cage, whether or not I pay them, whether or not I give them shirts, whether they're wearing our logo or not. And, you know, Jessica's been in that category for years. Brian's the same way. Stipe, to a large extent. You know, Dan Spawn, obviously. There's a few select others. You know, Donnie Walker, one of my best friends in the sport, a UFC vet. You know, I sick to my stomach feeling, just sick to in the pit of my stomach. But it's so darned exciting. It's like watching the last 2 minutes of your alma mater in the NCAA tournament. There's nothing like it. I actually got to experience Brian Rogers' fight on March 16th, 2012, on the same night that my alma mater, Ohio University, the Ohio Bobcats, played in the NCAA tournament, and I got to watch Brian knock out Vitor Viana on the same night the Bobcats advanced past the first round of the tournament, all on my birthday that year. So, you know, I've gotten – you want to talk about wanting to throw up. That was about as close as I've ever been. So, but that's the thing, is like watching Brian fight is – it is. It's like that sickness in the pit of my stomach. I'm so nervous, but I'm also so elated when it's over. And I remember when he knocked out Viana, it was one of those, you know, just jumping out over through the roof, scaring my kids. I'm so excited. And, you know, in this case, it's an opponent – that on paper has a little bit better record. But if Brian is going to be where Brian wants to be, expects to be, and needs to be, Brian should go out there and take care of business. And I think that's a very – I think that's the way he would answer the question as well. And we're going to find out tomorrow night. You know, now typically when Brian fights an opponent with a similar resume to this individual – he usually comes out and takes care of business. He's had a couple of fights that just didn't quite go the way he wanted them to, and it is what it is. He's in a position now where he's training under some new coaches and getting some different instruction, and I think that's a positive for him from everything I've heard, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm hoping he comes out and is able to do his best.
As a person close to Brian, how frustrating was it when his fight was scratched from that Bellator fight card a few weeks ago?
Yeah, that was tough. And I knew he had intended on getting a couple fights before the summer. And, you know, especially moving you know, to Colorado to go train and, you know, go with the new camp out with Chris Camozzi and all those guys out at Factory X Muay Thai. Yeah, it was frustrating, and I know that you know, he has a very good relationship with Bjorn and Sam Kaplan and the rest of the Bellator family, and that's a good thing. I know they make sure that Brian is taken care of and that he can do what he needs to do to continue his training, and I know that they did some nice things with him on that, and you know, I'm. It says a lot about the class organization that Bellator is. I know they get a lot of crap in the media, which is kind of unfortunate because what I know from behind the scenes has been very, very positive. That having been said, Brian wants to get in the cage and prove himself. He wants to prove to himself and prove to everyone else that he's an elite-level fighter. And I think he has all the athletic ability to do that. And with some of the conditioning things he's done and some of the other elements he's worked on crisping, you know, making his getting his game a little bit more refined, a little more technical, I think that we're going to see that on display tomorrow night, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Now let's transition to some intimidation gear. What do you guys have in the works over there? Any new products we're going to see soon, or any what products are pushing out the most? What do you how are things looking as far as you know the clothing goes? Because you guys are pumping out these awesome shirts. So how are things going on that front?
Going very well. We've slowed down a little bit on some of the general designs. We've kind of got this base of like 10 to 12 styles that seem to do well at all times. We've added a couple little things, a little more to our vintage series with a little bit more non-MMA branded, a new boxing, new baseball, new football, Imposure Will shirts. We feel like the Imposure Will phrase, you know, or moniker really fits sports outside of combat sports, outside of mixed martial arts. You talk about Ray Lewis, who's on the NFL draft coverage, you know, imposing his will on the offenses, or an offensive lineman, you know, one of the Matthews boys, imposing his will on a defensive lineman, you know, that kind of thinking. But, you know, even in hockey, you get your enforcers, or even a Sidney Crosby who can do his thing there, or, you know, a Randy Johnson-style pitcher, as I take myself and date myself a few years back. You know, in terms of a fireballer pitcher, you know, and the whole idea of the Imposure Will. So we're trying to work with that a little bit more and get that name out there a little more. We're doing some more signature shirts. That's the cool part. We've got a Dan Dragon Spawn shirt in the works. One that has already been announced publicly is George Bonesaw Comer. He's a 4-1 pro out of Mentor, Ohio at Grifferall MMA Academy. And George is supposed to be fighting here in June, as far as I know, and that will be another one of those shirts that will do us well. And the name Bonesaw is just kind of cool, so it's a little more unique in the world of not that many unique MMA nicknames. That's one of the better ones out there. So I think the imagery on that one is going to be pretty sweet. The dragon one will obviously be an Oriental dragon. It'll be pretty cool for Dan Spawn. A couple others in the works. But, yeah, for the most part, that's what we've got. A few new products coming out, a couple of new, you know, more for the performance-type gear and some sport shirts, you know, more of the lighter fabric that's more moisture-wicking. So we're going to try out a few different things there. You know, it's a fun thing to do because it's like, oh, yeah, this is the next cool thing. So it's like kind of like a kid at Christmas on a regular basis when I get to go pick up new product or whatever else. You know, I get to kind of sample things. And one of the things I do, and I don't know how owners of other companies do this or not, I take one of everything, not because I'm selfish and I have to have it. I take it because I want to test it, and I want to make sure that it's legit, and I want to make sure that the quality is good enough to put my name on. If it isn't, what the heck am I doing this for, is kind of the way I look at it. So even though I don't, you know, train regularly or work out all the time or anything, I still have a rash guard that I've tried to beat the heck out of, and I've got to love the quality. I still have most of the T-shirt styles, or if I don't have that specific one, it's because I already know that the blank shirt that we use to print it on performs well. So I always like to make sure that I know the quality of the product is suitable to all others out there. And, you know, that's kind of one of those things that I take very, very seriously. At the end of the day, I'm not putting my name on crap. I want to put my name on good product. So, yeah, that's just something I take seriously. So, you know, that's a big thing. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to some of these new products and some of the new stuff and some of the originals, because we have a very, very busy May and June coming up.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about that May and June, man. What's on the horizon for you, Luke?
Well, this weekend we only have one crew out, but next weekend we have four different events in four different states and four different crews at those events, which is going to be pretty crazy. Of course, Mark Slater and Coliseum Combat in Kokomo, Indiana is just one of the best regional promotions in the United States. It's phenomenal, and Mark's awesome. It's just small-town USA at its finest, hosting a high-level pro-am. So that'll be pretty darn exciting. We'll have our Indiana crew there. We'll have up in Michigan, in Jackson, Michigan, Prison City Fight Leagues, they're going. They've got another event. We've got a grappling event in the Buffalo area, which I'll say more about that here shortly. And then we've also got our Intimidate Cancer line on display at a Leukemia society fundraising event in Hubbard, Ohio, which this is a big piece. I don't know if your listeners have heard about Intimidate Cancer, but this is something that we started last fall. And, you know, my wife has been beating my door down trying to tell me I've got to do this for a while. And finally I said to my creative director, I said, put something together. And it's really worked out nicely. It's a donation-based, fundraising-based division of the Intimidation Clothing Company. We have decided over time that you can't just donate to everybody all the time. I get calls every night from somebody wanting me to donate something, and I get, you know, emails from, you know, fighters or this person or that person or a society of this, always wanting money. And at the end of the day, we all only have so much. And in this MMA world, it's not some glorified world like Major League Baseball where there's millions of dollars flowing freely. It certainly is not that in my world. So my wife and I decided we wanted to have Intimidate Cancer to help out those, especially in the small town that we live in, affected by cancer, so we could use this as a fundraiser to help them out. So we've had a couple of private fundraisers where we work out to deal with the families, and we sell the shirts, and they get a cut off the shirt sales. And the more shirts they sell, the more they get. And it's a way for them, whether it's because they're driving to the Cleveland Clinic and back every day, or you know, just to put more gas in the car and help pay their medical expenses or whatever else. That's the whole point of the Intimidate Cancer line. So we're going to have that on display next weekend in Hubbard, Ohio, in the Youngstown area. And then after taking Memorial Day weekend off, we've got May 31st. We've got a couple events, one in Ohio, one in Detroit, one in the Chicago area. Then June 7th will be a huge event in Cleveland. 14th and 21st will be super busy. Then we finally make our venture into Tennessee on June 28th. So we'll have the main event covered there and an Intimidate Cancer shirt for the son of one of the fighters on the June 28th card in Clarksville, Tennessee. So just a really busy time. If I got into all the specifics, your listeners would be bored. So go to IntimidationMMA.com and check out the events page. You can see where we're going to be. If people want our brand out where they are, let us know. Let your local shops know. Let your local promoters know. If anyone's out there that wants to get in on this and help represent us in areas where we're not already represented and we don't have a sales rep or a territory covered, that's what I want right now. I want more crews that can do this, because this local MMA thing is way harder than spending tons of money to go into the UFC, but it's way more fulfilling, and this is the right way to do it, and I firmly believe that, and that's why I love MMA Madhouse and Cage Zombies Radio, is because the support of local MMA is unmatched. And, you know, we're also good friends with Bluegrass MMA in Kentucky. They do a great job with this as well. I actually talked to a lady who does matchmaking in the southeastern United States, who's all about the local MMA scene too. And this is what we want to do, is we want to continue to build this out and have, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 crews at events across the United States and Canada selling product at local MMA events. And I'm actually working on a UK distributor to do the same thing in the London area. So this is where we're going with this thing, and anyone that wants to jump on this train and ride it out and make a couple bucks, you know, hit me up on one of the 75 different social media platforms that I'm on, and come find Intimidation. We're not hard to find.
Right on, man. Well, listen, Luke, it's always great to have you on, man. You know, keep what you're doing. What you're doing in your area is amazing. It's awesome to hear you're branching out. You're going to be spreading into Tennessee. I could never thank you enough for what you do for me down here. And, you know, I always love going out to the mail and seeing an Intimidation package out there. I love wearing your gear, man.
Be checking right your mail soon too. We got some stuff in. That one item that you requested is finally in. So
awesome, man! I'm looking forward to it, man. You know, I wear the gear almost everywhere I go, and it's awesome, man. You guys do great things. I'm glad to be able to wear your logo, be a little tiny part of it. And we always love having you on the show here. And of course, you're welcome back. You know, we'd welcome you on the show before me or Spencer. So feel free to be on.
I appreciate it.
You got it, man.
I appreciate it, and I know you wear your stuff because I see all the pictures, and whether you tag me or not, I see the stuff, and, you know, I'm kind of the eyes and the ears for the company in most cases, and I know when guys are legitimately doing and backing up what they say, and I know you're a couple of the good ones out there, and your whole team there with all the Madhouse folks, but, you know, you guys have been exceptional, and I appreciate that.
Right on, Luke. Well, you have yourself a good night, man. You enjoy the NFL draft, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right, as long as the Browns don't screw it up too bad, we'll be okay.
Have a good one, sir.
Thanks. Take care.
Luke Jernigan of Intimidation Clothing and IntimidationMMA.com. Absolutely love that guy, man. Like I said, you know, the dude's been just uber awesome to me and really good, you know, done some good stuff for me down here in Florida. He's been a part of what I'm doing for Florida MMA for quite a while now, and he's a great guy. Honestly, one of the best people in this entire industry that you could deal with or work with. And we love having him part of our team here at Cage Zombies Radio, one of our awesome sponsors. We got a lot of awesome sponsors, and we love having him a part of it and his company a part of it. So much so that we're gonna go ahead and do this for him right now. So let's go ahead and we'll give him a nice little shout out.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Right on, man. We love him there. So best of luck to him and some upcoming stuff, man. Best of luck to Brian Rogers tomorrow night. And continued good luck for Dan the Dragon Spawn. Big fans of him, of Dan here, and looking forward to seeing the next time he gets to step in the cage on The Ultimate Fighter and tear someone's head off. So with that said, we're going to go ahead. Let's jump into MFC 40. And Spencer, take it away, my friend.
All righty, MFC 40 going down on Access TV. Network that Matthew needs to get somehow, some way. Not sure how, man. You got to get this network.
ASAP.
Great,
right
great
away.
Coverage. It's Access TV tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Kicking the fight card off with Shane Campbell. It doesn't have his opponent down online. I'll have to check out. If I find that out, I'll tell you later in the night. But
I got it right here. Jared Burke.
Jared Burke, there you go. But Marcus Edwards and Aaron Gallant is the second fight. And let me tell you, Marcus Edwards, coming from my area, he made his MFC debut. I believe he won by TKO. I believe that's what it was. But he came out, and he's throwing. And I think if he gets the win over this Aaron guy, I would love to see him fight the winner of Sam Alvey and Wes Swofford, because I think that would be a great fight. Marcus Edwards is for real. He doesn't play around. His two losses are to legitimate people, so make sure you watch out for him. Hannes Novais, he's going to be on the fight card as well. Victor Valimaki versus Bill Wilder, that'll be another great fight. And then we get into the title fights. Of course, Anthony Burchak was supposed to be that third title fight against Kevin Kroom. Burchak had to drop out of the fight due to injury, so instead the fight's going to be turned into a title eliminator with Jesse Brock taking on Kevin Kroom. Bantamweight title eliminator. Winner will take on Burchak at a later MFC date. I wouldn't be surprised to see that at the very next MFC event, since Burchak is such a big name for the promotion. Can't wait to see him back in the cage, and we wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah,
the second title fight, Sam Alvey, Wes Swofford, as I mentioned. Sam smiling Alvey, great guy, not only in the cage, great athlete in the cage, great person outside of the cage. And I actually had the privilege to interview Wes on another one of the Madhouse shows. And the funny thing about this fight is it's going to be a great fight, but also each fighter's wife is going to be in the corner, cornering them. So that'll be something very funny, very interesting to look for.
Well, wait a second. Are you cheating on me?
Carl needed me for full guard, so I had to jump over.
Dang, man. That's like you're cheating on me with my ex? Oh, my God. I'm not even sure how we go. I don't even know where to go from here, man. I feel I just put you in a category with Johnny Manziel, man. I don't even know what to do now.
That's an awful category to be in. The last fight of the night, Tom Galecchio against Kurt Southern. This is a rematch. Galecchio getting the win the first time. That was originally that fight at MFC 39, I believe, was originally for the lightweight title, but Galecchio missed weight. So the title fight was dropped. If Southern would have won, he would have got the title, but Galecchio won, so they're going to rematch for the title this time. There's some bad blood there, so that one makes for a great main event. I'm excited for this card. Shouts out to John Bernard, who's the featured prelim. That won't be televised, but of course you can get the results online. Great guy fighting out of Hawaii, so I wish him luck tomorrow. You don't want to miss this event. Like I said earlier in the show, I think this is going to be the fight card to watch this weekend. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah, man, the MFC fight cards are always like the cards of the weekend. They're always just so good. They always deliver, always have great fights. Mark Pavlich is just the guy's an otherworldly awesome dude. And he's got a phenomenal promotion with phenomenal fighters. And they're going to have a great event tomorrow night. Also tomorrow night going on down in the States, we got Bellator. I had it here in front of me. We just talked about it earlier, Bellator 119. Which will be let me take that back. It's not down here in the States. It's actually in Ontario, Canada. The U.S.-based Bellator, which will be taking place in Ontario, Canada tomorrow night. Actually, before we go there, let's go over Bellator 118 real quick. The greatest fighter of all time, Spencer's favorite fighter, main event last week, Joe Warren versus Rafael Silva. Joe Warren wins by unanimous decision. I believe that was a number one contender fight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's going to be fighting Eduardo Dantas next. Dantas had to drop out of the fight. It was originally Dantas versus Warren.
Right.
I think Dantas is going to destroy Joe Warren. And I will say this, though. I will give Warren credit where credit's due. He deserved that win. He worked hard for that win. He outworked Rafael Silva. And, he looked good, but... Matthew, I want to jump down real fast to the fight card. I know you're kind of going over it, but Liam McGeary, this dude is legit. The opening round for the Summer Series lightweight tournament, and he looked great. He's undefeated. He's a huge dude for the division. Knockout punch, 22 seconds. If you haven't seen this knockout, we'll have to post it to our Facebook page. Just a right hook, and then he walks away. It was one of the most gangster things I've seen in an MMA fight. He knew he was out as soon as he connected with it. And this guy has fought, I believe, 4 or 5 times for Bellator, and he's just now making a tournament debut. He's going to be big for this division that Bellator is kind of already trying to stack, of course, with King Mo and Rampage coming up. So look out for this guy.
Yeah, man. Marcus Galvo, unanimous decision over Thomas Vasquez, Andre Korshkov. Flying knee KO over Justin Baseman. Just another good fight card for Bellator. A lot of decisions on the prelim card there on Spike.com, but they're doing big things. They're doing awesome stuff at Bellator. Now this week we got, like I said, Bellator 119, featherweight fight, Daniel Weichel versus Desmond Green, catchweight at 160 pounds. Somebody didn't make weight. Somebody couldn't hit 155. Eric Wisely versus John Alessio. John Alessio, obviously, been around this sport, fought a lot of places, fought a lot of big-time names, a lot of big-time promotions, and has continued to have big success in this sport. Coming off of some rough fights here, he's lost 3 of his last 4, and the fourth being a no contest, so not having the best time right now, but I'm sure John Alessio is going to get back in that win column and start getting on a roll again because he's had nothing but awesome success over the span of his career. As we talked about with Luke, we got Brian Rogers making his return to the ring here against Johan Roeming. And let's see, other than that, Marius Aramkis versus Vaughn Anderson, Rafael Butler versus Nick Rossboro. Going to be another big fight card. And then, of course, 2 weeks out, Bellator 120, man, the pay-per-view debut for Bellator. What are your thoughts right now on that card?
Well, first of all, I just want to say Bellator 119, it's been hit with some injuries, man. There were some more fights on this fight card, but just recently, 5 days out, they've had to kind of scrounge around to get some good fights, and it'll still be a great fight card because that's what Bellator does. They always put on great fights. But that's kind of the reason why I've been saying that MFC is going to steal the show this week. It was already close to begin with, but with those injuries, MFC is just going to blow them out of the water. As to Bellator 120 coming up, Alvarez versus Chandler 3, that pay-per-view, man. When they first announced it, I was skeptical as to whether or not I was going to buy it. They kind of sold me on it. This Spike card is stacked, man. Spike.com. Shoot, I'll tune into Spike.com just to see Zach Thunderwood fight. That's on the undercard. And then on the prelim card on Spike TV, I mean, that's a regular Bellator card right there with Chet Congo, Patricky Pitbull Frere. Marcin Held, who's one of my favorite Bellator fighters, Mike Richmond, Goitai Yamachi. It's going to be a great fight card. And then the, I mean, come on, look at this, the pay-per-view. They're kicking it off with Ricky Sniper Rainey. This is the pay-per-view, and Matthew said this. Matthew was brave enough to say this on a social media. This fight card
I guess I'm
is
back
better than some of, yeah, exactly. This fight card is better than some of the UFC pay-per-views. And, of course, all the Zuffa zombies out there disagreed with Matthew, but this fight card is going to be sweet. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, you're right. You're exactly right, dude. There's just so much on this fight card, man. It's like, where do you start? How do you break it down and say, well, I mean, you've got the end of the trilogy here versus Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler, which fights one and two were pretty amazing, probably two of the best fights in Bellator's history. Of course, you got this Rampage King Mo match. I'd like there to be a way where both guys get knocked out simultaneously, and we can just all move on with our lives. I like what's been going on with Rampage lately. I like to see that he's kind of had a resurgence with Bellator. You know, who knows what the reason is there and why and all that stuff. But ultimately, he's gotten back into the win column and done some good stuff. how about this, man? The Browns, you know, poor Luke just talking about he hopes his Browns don't have a bad draft. They trade up to number 22 and they take Johnny Manziel. So Johnny does come off the board in the first round. Good riddance to him. Sorry for all of you Ohio people. Just glad
just
that he won't be here in Florida.
I just want to put on the record I'm a Bengals fan, first of all. But second of all...
Sure, jump ship. Jump ship now.
Not man. I was a Bengals fan. Even when they were 2-14 back in the day, I was a Bengals fan. It was a sad day for me. But I don't want to sit here and analyze football, but that's kind of what Cleveland needs at this point. A lot of people are just miserable up there watching football. They need somebody to kind of get them excited. So there you go.
Haven't they been miserable watching football up there for like 40 years?
for their entire franchise. Their
yeah,
entire
pretty
existence.
Much. All right. I'm not
the Browns, man. The Browns.
All right. So let me try and get my focus back here. Yeah, man, this Rampage King Mo stuff just kind of seems like a pro wrestling tactic. It seems like just too comical, but when it comes down to it, I think it's going to be an explosive fight, and I hope King Mo gets knocked out. And then moving on to Alexander Shlemenko, Tito Ortiz, I really hope that Shlemenko retires Ortiz for the final time, puts him away, moves on, we can all move on. Tito goes home, enjoys retirement, starts making Energizer commercials so he can continue to compete against Chuck Liddell with his Duralast or whatever that garbage is. So I want Tito out, man. Tito he's just trying to hang on to something that's not there, and I just don't think it's going to go well for him. But you know, it's whatever. He hasn't won a fight since July of 2011. But hey, whatever, man.
Let me just say this: Tito has had a problem with body shots, and you know what Shlemenko is amazing at? Body shots. This fight is ending first round body shot, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a spinning back kick. Shlemenko's famous for those spinning attacks, and I would love to just see him just spinning kick right up against the cage. Right into Tito's ribs, right into his, anywhere in his body, the vicinity of it would knock him out. So somewhere around that area.
Right on. I'm actually watching Liam McGarry's knockout right now. He folded the guy like a friggin' pretzel. Boom, it was a quick shot, too. It didn't look like that much of a powerful shot, but he hit him square on the chin. Right on the side of the chin there, and just put him down, man.
Seriously, look at this guy's record. Look at this kid's record. All his finishes in Bellator are quick, and he looks amazing. His stand-up is just awesome.
Let's see. Let's pull it up. Leon McGarry here. Oh, yeah, looks like he's 7-0 with four KOs and three submissions. So this guy doesn't – this guy's – his pro debut at Battle of New Jersey back in May of 2010 is the only time that he's gone into the third round. Other than that, he's got five first-round finishes, one second-round finish that only went into 41 seconds into the second round, and then that one. So, yeah, this guy's a finisher, and I think you're right, man. I think you nailed it. This was his fourth fight with Bellator. Hopefully we'll see some big things out of him soon, and Because, I mean, that's a sick knockout right there. There's no way to no way around it. Just amazing knockout there. Now I'm going to watch this flying knee knockout because, let's be honest, flying knee knockouts are one of the most underrated things in MMA.
Yeah, but
boom! Oh yeah, that was beautiful. All right, man, I'm back. I'm wandering off here. Anyways, so yeah, check Bellator. Obviously, got a few big weeks ahead of them here. They've got some great things going on. 120 will wrap up their season 10, and then it'll be moving on to focusing on the summer series, which I do think they have. They got Bellator 121. Figured out right now. It's going to be in Oklahoma on June 6th, so they only have a couple weeks here without Bellator before they get started with their summer series. World Series of Fighting, though, has a couple things coming up. World Series of Fighting 10 is on the horizon, right around the corner, if I'm not mistaken. June 21st, Las Vegas, Nevada. I think we talked about that a little bit recently. World Series of Fighting 11 is being rumored to take place in Tampa, Florida. Really hoping that that's going to be the case. I don't think there's been an official announcement yet, but it's highly rumored to be taking place in Tampa, Florida at MacDill Air Force Base. So that's pretty cool for two reasons. World Series of Fighting coming back to Florida. World Series of Fighting taking place on a military Air Force Base. So that's pretty cool. Wherever it is, if it's in Florida, I'll be there. So get some good stuff coming from them. I want to transition into local scene. Tomorrow night, Island Fights 28. We talked with Dean Toole a little bit last night about it. Last week about it. And as we talked about then, it's just a stellar fight card. Lots of big names on this fight card. It's going down at the Pensacola Bay Center, Pensacola, Florida. I believe that's right out on Pensacola Beach. I want to give a special shout out to Mitchell Chamali, co-owner of Combat Night, a guy I know real well. Really good dude. He's stepping back in the cage tomorrow night. Wish him the best out there, and I just hope that he rocks his opponent. I hope he rocks him big time. The main event's the heavyweight title, Dylan Kleckler versus Jonathan Ivey. Super heavyweight title, main event, co-main event, Chris B3 Barnett versus Richard White. Those are some big dudes. You're talking probably between the heavyweight fight and the between the main event and co-main event. You're talking close to 1,000 pounds in the page, in the cage. I can't talk, man. I should shut up for a few minutes. Two very big fights there in the co-main and the main event. Just a stellar card by Dean Toole and company up there at Island Fights in association with Square Ring Promotions, Roy Jones Jr. Speaking of Roy Jones Jr., when is this guy gonna give it a rest as far as trying to... Nothing against him personally, but all of this trying to box an MMA fighter stuff, it's kind of ridiculous, if you ask me. Like, I just feel like it seemed kind of cool when, okay, Roy Jones Jr. versus Anderson Silva, like, hey, that could seem kind of neat, but it's kind of getting ridiculous. Now they're talking about, it looks like they're booking a fight between Roy Jones Jr. and Chris Lights Out Lytle. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I was interested in the whole Silva Jr. fight. Roy Jones Jr. against Chris Lytle, that's not selling to me. I don't want to see that.
Right, man. It's just weird. But whatever. Boxing obviously a big weekend last weekend with the Floyd Mayweather fight. But I just I don't buy into him. I don't. You know, it's like. Come on, there's not anybody in the world who I think really is a good enough fighter, boxer, to go 46-0 without some sort of fixing taking place behind the scenes, especially when you look at all those decisions, those questionable decisions, man. And if he's really the top boxer in the world, why not box the guy who they consider to be next to him, Pacquiao? I just can't buy in to major level professional boxing. Local boxing scene I follow along with some local guys, the Jedi Jaco, I forget his name, Aaron Jaco, a guy out of Tampa, you know, I follow along with him, Hot Rod down here in Tampa, Noemi Vasquez, I'm getting ready to do some work with Noemi Vasquez on the No No Magazine, which will be taking place, actually coming out in a few weeks here, I believe it's June first couple of days in June, the No No magazine will be released here, first issue of that, which is going to encompass MMA, boxing, hip-hop, R&B, DJs, gyms. Going to kind of encompass a whole lot of different stuff. I will be doing the MMA writing for that magazine, so I'm getting pretty pumped about that, stoked. I've submitted a couple of my articles, got one more I'm working on. It's going to be some real good stuff. So I have no issue with boxing, with the sport of boxing. I do think boxing is kind of dead. I think that boxing, its heyday is way, way long past. But as far as the sport goes, I have no issue with. I'm not into it that much, but I have nothing against it. I do have something against Floyd Mayweather and his 46-0 and him being the best in the world and all that garbage. I don't buy into it, man. I can't get into it whatsoever.
I will disagree with you on one thing. I don't think any of his fights were fixed. I mean, I have no evidence. I cannot prove that, of course. I'm not a detective. But I share with you the hatred for him. I cannot stand him. He's overpaid to fight once a year. Did you actually see the fight? He got cut, and it was the smallest cut, I swear. I was looking up pictures of a Diego Sanchez old fight cut. And I was like, are you serious? Are you kidding me right now? Korean Zombie dislocates his shoulder, and he wants to keep fighting. This dude gets cut below the eye. Smallest cut I've ever seen. And he starts freaking out in the corner when they try to put Vaseline and stuff on him. I was like, are you serious?
And the dude, and he walks out with Justin Bieber. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, what is that? Get your act together, dude. It's a show, man. It's a show. It's a performance. It's an entertainment type thing, man. I just don't buy into it because I feel like it's not fighting. I feel like it's entertainment. I'm gonna say it. I think it's staged, man. I don't buy into it all that well. And when you got a guy like that, you're the best in the world, and Bieber's coming out in your corner. I mean, come on, dude. I don't know, man.
The Bieber thing was icing on the cake. We do disagree a little bit here. I do think he's talented. I don't think his fights were fixed. But like you said, if he is that talented, why is he ducking Pacquiao? And that's the most frustrating thing for me. I always argue with this with people. And I think at this point it's just too late. I think this fight should have happened a year and a half ago. But who knows? If he walks out with Bieber again, man, I swear I'm never – Speaking of him again.
All right, let's play a quick song. And when we excuse me. When we come back, we'll go live with Marine Babyface Reardon. So here, enjoy some A Day to Remember.
Fly! Pro-Am Championship belt who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am Championship Belts.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Right on, and we thank each and every one of our amazing sponsors. We are now joined by Maureen Babyface Reardon. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
Good, how are you?
Doing very good. Listen, thank you for joining us. You know, we spoke last week and tried to get you on the show, and, you know, Glory just had had a lot on your plate. You had a lot to do, and you were real gracious about letting me know that, and glad that we could work it out to get you on the show this week. And definitely want to
thank you on top of that.
I'm sorry. I was going to say just a double thank you for the fact that you're just getting done with another interview and you're still ready, willing to sit here and chat with us for a little bit. So we appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to.
You're in quite the high demand, I guess, coming off of a real beautiful third-round TKO, huh?
Yeah, that was fun.
So walk us through the fight a little bit. You know, you get a third-round TKO over Brenda Rodriguez. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts going into the fight.
You know, it had been since February 2nd of 2013 that I had fought last. I was coming off of a pretty significant injury, being out for the last year, and that was absolutely the longest I've been between fights. Felt like the first fight all over again, so I was, you know, having to kind of remind myself those 2 weeks before the fight when, you know, you start getting those adrenaline bursts and, you know, that when you get in there, everything slows down, at least for me. You know, you have plenty of time to sort of think it through, and, you know, when you check a kick and you clank shins, you don't feel it in the fight. But all these things I kind of forgot about. So I was curious to see how I would show up on fight day, you know, if I was going to be nervous, which is outside of my norm. Usually I'm very, very calm on fight day. I'm the opposite of everybody else. I'm horrible throughout fight camp, and then the week of the fight, I'm calmer than ever. So we showed up, and it was good. There was no nerves. There was, you know, just my normal self, nice and relaxed. The schedule for the fight was a little bit off, though. So we thought that I was going on at 3, and a half hour earlier, they came in, and we were actually just finishing up, you know, the final taping on my wraps, and they yelled that I was supposed to be on deck right then, and I was going out any minute, so we were rushing to throw the gloves on and try and, you know, roll my hips out a little bit before I get out there, so I went out with no warm-up, and that was definitely a first for me. So the first round was my warm-up. It was sluggish. It wasn't my normal stuff, but, you know, that was okay, too, for me, for this fight particularly, just, again, being my first one back and, you know, kind of knocking that ring rust off, and that's what round one was for me. And then round two and three were just, you know, it was great. I had the intense pleasure of having light bulbs kind of clicking in the middle of the fight, and that's happened to me once before, and it's amazing when that happens, you know, to just have that bulb come on over your head and you're in the middle of this fight, especially, you know, for Glory doing this high caliber card and first time with knees to the head, and, you know, I'd land one and like, oh man, it worked beautifully, you know, and just being excited to throw the next one. And it was fun. Sometimes, you know, I get to having so much fun, I kind of forget that the finish is a good thing. You know, I'm just kind of playing. And so I got through round two, and, you know, I'm talking to them in the corner, and then knew I needed to go out there and finish it so I can make the biggest intact for the, you know, the first female fight in Glory. So was very rewarding to get the finish like that. So
now, how does that make you feel as a young fighter? You know, you're making your pro debut with this. You know, you fought MMA. You've got a good experience there. You've trained for all this over at Fuse Box. How does it make you feel though to make your pro debut? Not only in perhaps one of the biggest kickboxing organizations in the world right now, but to be the first women's fight in that organization.
I feel like saying honored is so cliche, but I can't think of a more appropriate word. I mean, it was just when the offer came, I at first kind of thought it was like a joke. I'm like, are you serious? Like the Glory, or is this like, you know, some other promotion that's kind of using the name hoping to ride the coattails or something? Like, you're serious? The Glory. And you know, then the thoughts start going through, like, man, why, you know, how did this fall on my lap, you know, and going through all that. And gosh, it was amazing. I think I went through that entire fight camp with just, you know, kind of a mix between just elation and so honored and excited to have this opportunity. And then, you know, of course, it was obviously the biggest fight card I've ever been on. And it was the first time at the First Bank Center, which is, you know, our big event center here in town for all the fights. And, you know, combined with the pro debut and the first fight after coming back from injury. And it was quite the roller coaster of emotions that kind of carried me through the camp for that. But, you know, then to get out there and just, gosh, it was nice. And like I said, I mean, I'm usually pretty calm for all my fights, but I think it was such an opportunity that, you know, I knew I just needed to go out there and perform, and win or lose, it was still a great thing. Like, I knew I was going to go out there, and even if I didn't get the win, I knew I was going to put on a good show. I knew I was going to prove that, you know, women definitely should be in that light. I mean, especially, like, with the striking and stuff, women are – I mean, I love the guys, but women tend to be more technical because we're forced to. You know, like, guys have the ability to kind of go in there with these, you know, haymakers and the knockout power, and that's what makes them really exciting, you know, to watch. People love to see that stuff. But you don't often see women getting – those knockouts and those finishes. So we're kind of forced to be technical through it. And, you know, we're not primally wired to fight. We kind of have to get more academic about it and, you know, step by step our way through it. So, you know, anyhow, I knew it was going to be a good performance either way. And to have that kind of an opportunity, I think it was the first situation where I found myself like, man, I really want to win, but this is a win-win situation for me no matter what happens. So the first time I got to fight without any of that, like, pressure hanging over my head and that burden on my shoulders, and, you know, to be able to go out there and just do what I love and let myself just have a good time doing it was such a cool experience.
Yeah. Now you said how the first round was kind of your warm-up. Now, as a fighter, you know, making your – pro debut, or whether it's your third amateur fight, whether it's your 20th professional fight, does when you get to that point, when you're at that point where you're just finishing up having your hands wrapped, and you know that you've got a few minutes to warm up, you've got a little time before you go on, but then they come out and say, oh, hey, you're supposed to be ready to go right now, does that affect you mentally, or are you already so much into the zone that at that point it's like, you know what, it doesn't even matter, I'm ready to fight?
You know, I think it probably differs for each fighter. For this situation, you know, for me and the way I am on fight day, you know, I'm lucky that I work that way. You know, you see the fighters that they're pacing the whole time, and when they warm up, they want to be just like panting and dripping sweat and go, go, go. I'm not like that. It actually took Michael a while to get used to the way I am in the back, because I want my headphones on. I don't want anybody to speak to me except for Michael. And it's not a, you know, stuck up thing. It's just, he's the only one that kind of knows how to speak to me that day. And even then he doesn't say much to me. I'm just kind of lost in my world. I'm visualizing. I listen to calming music. I don't want to get hyped up. If I feel those adrenal bursts, I try and push him back down, because I don't want that adrenaline until I walk out. So that way I can use all of it and I'm not exhausted by the time I get in there. And I lay down if I can. I have my eyes closed and I don't move at all until they say it's time. And I like to just get, you know, just a couple rounds so that I'm breathing, but I don't like going out, you know, super hot or anything like that. So, you know, for me, it wasn't so far off my norm anyhow. But it was, I mean, it was a little like, oh man, I have to go now. Like I can't even kick as hard as I can one time, you know, and anything. I think anything that's different from your regular schedule has the potential to sort of trip you up a little bit. But the nice thing for me is as soon as I get in that ring or as soon as that cage door closes, there's some sort of calm, the focus that I get that I can't get anywhere else. I think when people talk about, you know, that calm state in meditation, I have no idea what they're talking about. But when I get in the ring or get in the cage, that's what I imagine they must be talking about, because it's just like the crowd dims. The way they describe it in movies is perfect. You know, the crowd is muffled. I can barely hear them. Michael's voice is just bright and clear from my corner. And everything's moving really slow. I have time to pick out my shots. I have time to kind of gauge what the opponent's doing. And, you know, so, yeah, I think, you know, at first I'm like, oh, man. But then as soon as I got in there, it was just, you know, same old story for me. So that was nice.
Back to work, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly what it is. It's just like I have a job to do. And the penalty of not focusing and perhaps failing is – you know, so it can be potentially huge. So I don't have that luxury to not focus and, you know, risk getting my face pummeled in. So that's probably what it is, you know. You don't have the luxury to not focus and be in, you know, just be very centered on your goal in there. So
now, very, very, as we established, great debut with Glory. Do you think this is going to keep you from returning to MMA, or are you going to stick with kickboxing?
No, it's not going to keep me from MMA. Actually, before I even went on with Glory, I had a multi-fight deal that I signed with RFA. So that's actually my next step is to fight for them this summer. We're already, you know, in the middle of talking about who it's going to be and, you know, all the details, all that good stuff right now. So I knew all along going into it that immediately after Glory, the next thing was to jump right back into camp for MMA. Now, you know, where I go from there, I'm not, you know, the majority of my competitive experience is in MMA, but I have two kickboxing fights. I have a boxing fight. I'm actually, you know, in the middle of negotiations right now on, setting up, a boxing fight after RFA. So, you know, just keeping myself busy. I love the competition. I love all the different, platforms of it. It's really difficult to say what my favorite is. I love MMA because it's so high paced and you have so many options, and it's really fun to kind of, you know, match the different people up, and this person's kind of more of a grappler and how's that going to go against the striker, and, you know, it gives that element of surprise and, you know, can always get turned around. Kickboxing for me is just this beautiful art form that I love to go in there, and the ability to take a really technical fight, I think. And then boxing, to me, is just like good old-fashioned brawling fighting. You know, it's get in there and slug it out. So I love all of them for different reasons, and I'm happy to compete in any of them. And we'll just kind of see where it goes. If Glory invites me back, I would be elated to fight for them again. That was such an amazing experience. To fight on that card with some of the best fighters in the world. I mean, some of these guys have over 100 professional fights, and that's not even beginning to touch their amateur career. And it shows in their technique and their professionalism. But I'm just as excited for MMA. I mean, who doesn't like choking somebody?
Oh, I love it.
So you're going from Glory to RFA. How does it feel to be contacted by all these great organizations right off the bat in your career?
Fantastic. It was really rewarding. 4 years ago when I first started training and first told Michael that, you know what, I think I really like this. I want to see where we can go, you know. We sat down then and made a plan. You know, we knew where we wanted to go, and we kind of put that on the horizon and then started sort of working backwards in that plan so that we knew what steps would lead us where. And you know, I did a lot of work on my own as far as marketing goes and just, you know, speaking, you know, how engaging with people and attracting them and trying to be more than just that fighter, you know, because that's not enough. I don't care who says it is, you know, you hear all the time, just let your fist speak for you. Like, that's not enough, you know, and it all worked. You know, there was definitely a lot of hecklers along the way that you know, shared their opinion of what we were doing and maybe our purpose behind it or, you know, our reasoning like that. And to have it all, you know, come to a head like this, my pro debut in both of them are for, you know, some of the highest cards that there are. RFA has a fantastic sign rate into the UFC. They have great relations with Invicta. They have great relations with Glory. I mean, they're right up there. And the people within the organization are fantastic. I love working with them. They've been, you know, they've been great, and they're all, you know, good business people. And I get a thrill off that because before fighting, I was a businesswoman through and through. And, you know, at the end of the day, I still am. So I get a lot of rewards from that professionalism. And I was so excited when it paid off like that. And my big goal in this really is to make a great impression so that I can have a part in this event of paving the way for, you know, all the next generation. So, you know, those women before us made it so that we're where we're at now. And now it's our job to keep securing it so that all the girls that are kind of looking up saying, ooh, I think I want to be that when they grow up, you know, that there's still a wonderful spot for them when they get there. So, yeah, very rewarding. And obviously those long-term goals are a lot easier to maintain or to achieve when I have these high platforms that I can work with.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's awesome, Maureen. I got one more thing I want to ask before we let you go tonight. I just want to know, you know, back in 2010 when you started training and you joined Fusebox, what got you to first walk into the gym and to give it a shot? What, you know, was it a friend? Was it just something you saw on TV? What caused you to walk in the gym and want to give martial arts you know, a chance?
Actually, you know, kind of a combination of things. I wanted to lose weight. I had been through a time in my life that I could see that it was now conducive to know how to defend myself and protect my children. And then I had a friend that happened to be trained at Fusebox. And when I was talking about weight loss and how boring treadmills are, he suggested I try the cardio kickboxing just for the weight loss, you know, and took about 3 weeks to talk me into it because I kept saying that, you know, I'm really not an aggressive person. I didn't think that was going to be my culture in there, you know. And I went in and saw the, you know, the super jocks of the fight team and really liked what I saw and looked at myself and said, I want to be like that and not where I'm at right now, you know, and not even necessarily like looks or anything like that, but just the athleticism that some people have out there and the, you know, the capability. I wanted that. And then did some grappling for a couple of days and completely fell in love. I think the grappling reminded me of kind of those fun roughhousing years with my brother growing up and just took right to it. And, I mean, I fell in love within a matter of days. And I haven't done anything since. I was self-employed before, and I changed all of my plans around my business and all the goals I had for myself and scratched it all and said, this is what I'm doing. And I haven't looked back once or regretted it since.
Right on. That's awesome. Now, okay, I lied to you. I got one more question for you, and then I'm going to let you go. I want you to tell us a little bit about Team Babyface Heroes.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Actually, it was, again, my goal in this is to, bluntly put, to be as well known as possible so that down the road I can get into motivational speaking and writing. And I have a very strong passion for teaching, mentoring, helping. And I've always wanted to work with kids. and saw this as a wonderful ability to do so. So, you know, all along I've been trying to get involved, you know, at smaller paces, you know, in the beginning just not having as much pull or financial ability. And so I was volunteering at the Children's Hospital, went around and did, you know, autographed pictures for all of them, started asking all of my you know, friends, family, fans, all the supporters of just Team Babyface to donate Valentines at Valentine's Day, you know, have the kids fill them out and bring them to me, and I would take them all over to the hospital for all the kids that are, you know, stuck in those miserable wards instead of at the school doing their fun Valentine's Day party like all the other kids. And I had such a fantastic, I mean, I kind of have goosebumps right now thinking about it. Just, you know, everybody, there was such a fantastic response to that. The Valentine's just like flooding through the door for a couple weeks, and I took bags of Valentine's to the hospital, and that kind of gave me the idea. You know, I'm like, wow, these, you know, people that I tend to attract, you know, they like what I'm about, and they're like-minded. They're about the same stuff, and you know, want that ability to contribute to something, and all of us together can contribute in a large manner. So I started Team Babyface Heroes, which for this first fight, I just asked people that they, you know, contribute part of or the entire cost of, you know, just the general admission tickets, and collected those and then went around and gave those tickets to kids that otherwise wouldn't have been able to make it to the events, whether they were, you know, troubled youths or, you know, came from low-income families or, you know, whatever the case may be. But kids that were really, you know, inspired by it that you thought you might be able to reach out to. So I actually took some of them. I was asked to go be a guest speaker at one of the Jeffco schools that, you know, it's for troubled youths, and went out there and talked to all the kids about my story and some of the adversities I faced and just never giving up, and donated a couple of the pairs of the tickets to all the kids that had really applied themselves the most to kind of turning things around and their ACT test they were just taking. And then the rest were, you know, kind of given to everybody else. And then as far as my profits off those tickets, 100% of anything that I made off of that is going to support local youth sports teams. And it was a great response, so I'm just going to keep doing it.
Right on. That's
awesome. $1, $5, you know, I've had some that gave a couple hundred dollars, and be able to keep supporting community and youth through that avenue. So.
Right on. Well, I talk a lot about, you know, paying it forward and giving back and doing what you can to help out. So I always love to hear when fighters are doing that. I think that anytime somebody has been given or earned a platform, you know, whether it's a professional fighter, whether it's a football player, whether it's a singer, I think that when you've been given a platform in one way or another in life, that you should do something to give back, you know, do something to pay it forward and to help those, to help others. So, you know, I love, like I said, I love to hear that, especially being so involved with MMA. I truly love when I see fighters doing something to give back and kind of help out those that are less fortunate, maybe don't have opportunities, and helping give them opportunities. So I wish you the best of luck with that, with Team Babyface Heroes. Me and Spencer, we wish you the best of luck with fighting. We'll be definitely looking forward to seeing you on an RFA card soon, hopefully back in on a Glory card as well. And
Let's hope so.
Before we let you go, we want to give you, like we do with, you know, with all our guests, opportunity to kind of let people know where they can find you on social media and how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. You can go through Twitter and Instagram. Both of those are Babyface MMA. And then if you're a Facebook junkie, you can find me there at Maureen, M-A-U-R-E-E-N, Babyface Riordan, R-I-O-R-D-O-N. And you can also find me on my website at MaureenRiordanMMA.com.
Right on, Maureen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I know it's been an evening full of interviews. Now you can sit back, relax for the rest of the night, and you know, we wish you the best. We hope to talk to you again sometime soon, all right?
Great. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem. You have a wonderful evening.
You too. Bye.
Right on. Maureen Babyface Riordan. You can check her out, MaureenRiordanMMA.com. MaureenRiordanMMA.com. Check out her website. You can learn a little bit about her. You can learn more about Team Babyface Heroes and kind of the good stuff that they're doing over there. Like I said, I can't say it enough. I love when fighters are giving back or doing good things for other people and for the community and for, in her case, you know, for youth and teens and people that are less fortunate. So I love to see that stuff, and I wish her the best with that. And, of course, I wish her the best with her career, whether it be MMA, kickboxing. She's obviously got the talents to do it all, and looking forward to seeing that. So before we get out for the evening, I just want to talk real quick about AFC MMA going down this weekend, and then Spencer wants to talk a little bit about Cage Warrior. So real quick, AFC MMA Fight Night going down this Saturday at the All Sports Arena in Port Richey, Florida. I will be there doing live results. The weigh-ins are going to be tomorrow night at the All Sports Arena as well. Those are open to the public. Those are about 7 o'clock. The fights will start on Saturday. I believe doors are going to open around 6. You come in, hang out. The All Sports Arena is a real awesome venue. Cheapest beer and food you'll find at an MMA event, and it's good food, too. It's not garbage food. It's good stuff. So it's going to be a great night of fights down there. Island Fights 28 in Pensacola, Florida, as well. That's tomorrow night, so make sure you check that out. That's going to be an amazing night of pro MMA. And just real quick, I want to go over a couple names on this AFC MMA fight card. I want to say first, Chris Oyola getting back in the cage, coming off of a tough fight, but a very tough young kid going to get back out there. Amy Sika getting back in the cage, looking forward to seeing her again. She made her debut a few months back at AFC MMA. Took a loss out at Real Cage Fighting after that, a close loss, and then back out in the cage. So Chris Cornelius, an absolutely chiseled beast, getting back in the cage here at AFC MMA, an awesome guy and a great fighter. Danny Matos making his return to the cage after his 12th getting knocked out in 12 seconds at the last World Class Fight League against Luis Sicara. It was just a brutal knockout, and Danny's a good dude and a great young fighter, so glad to see him get back in the cage. Devin Lee Brown out of Gator MMA. Came off of a pretty nice win at the World Class Fight League event. He's back in the cage. Let's see who else we got here. Andrew Marsh, coming off of an injury as well. Been out for a while. He's back in the cage. Patrick Corrigan. Terry Janowski coming off of a real tough loss at the World Class Fight League event against Tucker Lee Chapman. These guys are both chiseled beasts, and it was a brawl between those guys. So Terry Janowski getting back in the cage there. And looking forward to seeing good stuff from him. A big heavyweight fight with Rashawn Jackson and Darrell Howard. That's it. Going to be a great night of fights, man. A real awesome night of fights here at AFC MMA Fight Night. So check that out here at Port Richey, Florida. And now away to Spencer.
Yeah, Cage. I want to say this. Cage Warrior 68. 10 fights. All of them finishes. 10 finishes, and these aren't just finishes. These are spectacular finishes. I want to say Patty Pimblett over Conrad Hayes. This was a flying triangle. You don't see that every day. Hopefully we'll have that and the McGeary knockout posted on our page after the episode, so you can check those out. A nasty flying triangle / armbar. And then also, that was the featured prelim for the fight card, but also the opening fight on the main card was Dean Garnett against John Cullen. Dean Garnett getting a sweet heel hook on him. I don't think I've ever watched a fight card where all 10 fights, 10 out of 10, were all finishes.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome seeing stuff like that. You don't see it very often. I saw it at a local show maybe a year ago, Florida Combat Challenge, I think 6. It was like 9 fights on the card or something, all finishes. I think total fight time, if I remember correctly, because I added it all up, because I was beyond myself over the fact that we were there for like 5 hours and total fight time was 15 minutes of all the fights combined, 15 minutes of fight time. And yet we were there for like 4 or 5 hours at that show. That was the last show that promotion did. They had ran into some issues and just didn't, that was it for them. But, it was good fights. It was just, man, 15 minutes fight time. You're at the show for like 5 hours. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But anyways, just want to thank all of our guests tonight. Of course, Mr. Luke Jernigan of Intimidation Clothing. He doesn't have a choice. He has to come on the show. Whether he wants to or not, we make him come on the show. Fortunately, he always wants to, so we love having Luke on. And Maureen, just an awesome guest. I love well-spoken guests, man. I said this to Spencer earlier behind the scenes. It's just cool when – when it kind of gives me and Spencer like a – we could kind of sit back and relax, man. When they have a lot to say, when they're very well-spoken, and they're so, like, excited to be on. You know, we get people on sometimes that are maybe a little bit nervous, some people that aren't familiar with it, you know, when we talk to people on the local scene. But you can tell when you've talked to somebody who's well-experienced in interviews and just who's well-spoken, has a lot to say. And we had two awesome guests tonight. We have awesome guests every week, don't get me wrong. But we just want to thank both of them for being on the show tonight. And of course, all of our sponsors, we thank them because, well, if we didn't have them, me and Spencer would probably just call each other on our phones and nobody would hear us. So we do appreciate having sponsors that put us on the air because somehow I figure if it was just me and Spencer talking to each other on our phones, we wouldn't really have guests and it would just be us talking back and forth about God knows what. So... we thank you to those sponsors that put us on the air. We thank you to MMAMadhouse.com for being the best MMA website in the known universe. And check out, like I said earlier, check out the MMA Madhouse YouTube page and watch the Madhouse Minutes daily vlog. Cool stuff going on there. A lot of team members chiming in and giving you local MMA from all over the nation, all over the Americas. You know, Canada, North America, South America, East America, West America. Getting MMA from everywhere on those daily vlogs, and we're having a good time doing it. So check that out. Want to give shout-outs to some of our friends, GFL.TV, RearNakedSmoke.net. I want to say congratulations. Our vice president, Skippy Cohen, became co-owner of MMA Madhouse this week. Doing big things, Skippy is, and I think he's a big reason for the success that we see here. So just want to say... big shout-out to Skippy, Carl, the best guys in the world to be working for. And that's it for us, Cage Zombies Radio. Spencer Kirksey and Matthew Gaither, we will be back. Oh, actually, next Thursday, we're going to have special guest Kari Richardson will be joining us next Thursday. I will only be part of the show for a little bit, and it'll be Spencer and Kari next week. So we'll see you guys next Thursday.
Chocolate?
Yes, sir! With or without nuts? Chocolate?